Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is up, player profiler faithful. It's Matty Kiwoom, and welcome to episode 28 of The Game Plan. Get ready for a magical show. I have not one, but two very incredibly special guests joining me, and we are talking a little best ball strategy. I am just way too excited for this episode, so let's not waste another second. It is time to get down to business. So, gang, take out your pen and pads, and let's start game planning to win our best ball drafts. Planners, whoo, my guests for episode 28 are two awesome analysts and some of my favorite guys in the industry. They are members of the Destination Devi crew, and they are the co-hosts of the Off the Line Fantasy Podcast. That's right, I'm talking about Ike and Gene. What up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Oh, super pumped to have you guys on. I'm excited to talk a little bit of best ball here. I got to admit, I'm a tad green with best ball. I kind of do it to just pass the time in the offseason, but I want to get more serious. I want to get in the weeds, and I want to win. I want to get some cash. I want to go to the expo next year and have some cash on me. So let's talk a little best ball strategies, right? Of course. You got to have that money on it. You got to do it. Yeah. But before we get into it, we got two segments as we usually do here on the game plan. But before we do, I got a little bit of surprise questions for both of you. So how long have you been playing fantasy football? And go ahead and describe your fantasy management style.
Go ahead. You go first, Ike.
So I've been playing fantasy since, I think, 2007, I believe. And I only remember the year because I had a draft on NFL.com where I had drafted – Vincent Jackson over Randy Moss.
The year he went to the Pats?
The year he went to the Pats and the year that he went off and had broke the NFL record for receiving touchdowns. So I only remember that year pretty vividly.
Yes.
So that was my first trial by fire experience in fantasy football. But my fantasy management style is, it kind of depends on the year, right? I mean, it just kind of depends on how the previous year went. And if, running backs are getting pushed up the board, then you kind of zag. And then if wide receivers are getting pushed up the board, then you kind of zag. So it just kind of depends. But I like to have a lot of, wide receiver heavy teams mostly, especially during redraft. So yeah, that's usually my biggest, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me.
And honestly, it's kind of been a through line here with a lot of the guests. It's being fluid in your style. Like, the best fantasy gamers aren't rigid to one type of fantasy ideology, nothing like that. But I do love the wide receivers. Me and my buddies, for whatever reason, we used to call them the dragons. You got to have your dragons to take down the village in fantasy. What about you, Gene? How long have you been playing fantasy? And kind of tell us about your fantasy style.
I think I've been playing since in college, probably 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. I remember my first draft, I had LT. It was the year after he went berserk, I believe. And I was mad because I remember the person that had him, he just won. Like, it was a cheat code. It just didn't make any sense. And then that's when. So, but my style is, kind of the same as Ike's. I'm a wide receiver guy through and through, but like you said, I know Mike and Adam, when they came on, just other people, you do got to be fluid whenever you're drafting, because when you're drafting against randoms, it's always something. When you're drafting against your people in your home leagues, you're a little more prepared, how to navigate those. But when you're in these random rooms trying to build a best ball team, you definitely got to be fluid in your strategy and building a roster that you like.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You got to be fluid in best ball.
Got to adapt when necessary. And plus, you know, Gene made a good point. Knowing your league mates, knowing their tendencies, knowing how, you know, maybe they value names over production, you can definitely exploit that those weaknesses in your leagues. And we do it every year. You know, Gene and I, we're always pretty much at the top of some of the leagues that we're in together. I usually beat him more than he beats me, but.
Oh, man. So, you know what? We might be half a country apart, but we share something in common. We both took down Gene in fantasy leagues. I took him down in the Expo Championship. Oh, my gosh.
That dynasty league, you did. I forgot you did win that. You did beat me in the finals, man. Damn.
You hate to see it. You absolutely hate to see it.
For real. If you're Gene, but you love to see it if you're us, right? If you're taking him down, we want to be on top.
I didn't think you were going to bring that one up.
I wasn't going to. We're talking best ball here. That's a dynasty league, so I wasn't going to. But when Ike throws up the alley, you know, I'm going to throw it down. I have to.
Fair enough.
Like that D-Wade LeBron picture.
Oh, man. We have to recreate that now at the Expo. Yeah. Now I think about it. Okay, so something to tally down. Let's go. Okay, yes. I like that. So we are here to talk best ball strategy, and I am so excited to have you guys on because you're very good at in-season analysis. I love listening to Off the Line Fantasy when you're in season because you guys are absolutely sharp. But now you're kind of evolving into the full-fledged full season all year long, and you're adapting a whole bunch of best ball strategies. So I'm super excited to have you come on and tell all of our listeners kind of your best practices and ways they can, you know, take these, put them in their tool bag, and put together some good teams in these best ball leagues and maybe take home a little bit of coin. But before we get really into the weeds of the strategies, I wanted to ask you guys, like, what's your best ball experience and like how'd you do last year?
Go ahead, Gene.
So last year, I think last year playing a little more underdog best ball, I think that's probably my second. No, actually my third, because I did play on DraftKings, but I just like the experience a little bit more on underdog. But last year I probably put in like 20, 25 teams, let it be like the puppy or, the very big one that they do at for like the, I think it was $500,000. I think this time, I know this year is going to be $1 million total in prizes, but I know one thing I learned putting in those teams is that I wasn't as fluid. You learn year to year. I think I was kind of rigid in terms of my team build because I was drafting a lot of early running backs and, doing a lot of deep diving. And if you're in the, Destination Devi Patreon, that's patreon.com/allgas. I had to plug that in real quick.
There it is.
We got a lot of sharp people in there, and they like building spreadsheets or whatnot. And came away with a lot of like different things. If you're in there, then you'll see some of the matrices that Dynasty Barry's in there. And one of the things is that I learned is that last year a lot of the teams that advanced, they didn't have wide receivers falling in their flex. It was actually running backs, and they were producing a more higher clip in terms of points per game than your wide receiver or your tight end. So that again goes back to being a lot more flexible when you're in your builds and understanding how the scoring works, especially underdog, which is half point PPR. I know a lot of people, we get caught up in getting a bunch of wide receivers, this and that, but those running backs held you down if you had some good ones or a lot of ones that came in and performed really good very late in the season. I know Ike, he'll get to his story and he'll tell you that some of these running backs, the unexpected running backs, showed up and showed out for him when at the end of the season for him. So that was my experience with best ball with underdog. I like it a lot. I know I'm going to be going in more as we continue the conversation. We can talk about some other things that you might want to implement when you're playing in this year.
So we were talking before the show, Ike, you got a nice little story from last year's best ball. So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners how well you did last year?
Yeah. And honestly, like I hadn't been playing best ball for that long, maybe like a couple years, 2 or 3 years, just kind of dabbling here and there. But like last year was like the first year that I kind of, took it serious a lot more. My first draft was, I think, June 1st, June 8th, something along those lines. Like it was relatively late compared to where I'm drafting now, but I was relatively green in best ball. So I think I put in about 33 teams total.
So you learn quickly.
Yeah, between the puppy, which is $5, and then between best ball mania, which is $25. So I kind of mixed and matched But I did pretty well last year in best ball. I placed seventh in the puppy three. So and that appreciate it.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Placed seventh. So I had that particular tournament started with 293,000 people, and then I kept winning, and I kept winning each week. And I was texting Gene. I was like, man, I'm actually in the semifinals now. And then, damn, I'm in the finals now. but for that particular team, that team build was pretty unique. It was running back heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was basically with the puppy, it's 18 roster spots versus Best Ball Mania, which is 20 roster spots. So that's one thing to keep in mind with the smaller contest. They have smaller roster sizes.
Mm-hmm.
But with the puppy, my build was 3-8-5-2. So, three quarterbacks, eight running backs, five wide receivers, and two tight ends.
Okay.
And, my three quarterbacks were Jalen Hurts, and we all know Jalen Hurts. Smashed. Kirk Cousins.
Pretty good.
And then Tom Brady. And I'll get to Tom Brady here in a second and how he definitely turned the corner when he needed to.
Man, you guys know I'm a Pats fan, so always love me some Tom Brady. But, I'm super excited to have you on. And make sure you stick around. We got a little ad read here, but make sure you stick around because I have two of the best, and we are going to get into those best ball strategies.
Hey, it's the Podfather. Now, in the offseason, I get into baseball, I get into basketball, and my preferred platform to play fantasy sports is Rival Fantasy, because Rival Fantasy has challenges where you can just take a guy, say, hey, this guy's going to score more fantasy points than this guy. They put two shortstops together. Pick one. Point guards, pick one. Spoiler alert, you should pick Damian Lillard. Or they have the fantasy book where you could pick over under on up to five guys. And then the more you pick, your potential payout quickly escalates. And finally, I submit a bingo card because you can just go over under across the board. Get your fantasy bingo card set, submit it. I'm not the biggest basketball or baseball expert, but I have a hell of a lot of fun playing fantasy sports on rivalfantasy.com. And the best part is with promo code PLAYER, they refund up to $50 of any losses. So the promo code there is PLAYER on rivalfantasy.com. Go have some fun.
So go have some fun at rivalfantasy.com and use that promo code PLAYER, and you will get yourself a nice little bonus here. In the chat, my man Jason Alwine says that Tom Brady, the GOAT, was great for overall team morale. Obviously, you got to get the boys going in the locker room to have good performances on the field. But my next question for you, and we'll start with Gene, what are some different strategies to draft like a really good best ball squad?
For me, right now, drafting pre-NFL draft, they have a couple of contests, $10, $5 contests. One thing I've been noticing as I've been drafting this early is I have a tendency of drafting tight ends late, just because, mm-hmm. again, when in the Discord, in our underdog room, one of the breakdowns was that when you look at the warp, the wins over replacement for mm-hmm. a player, once you get past tight end one, tight end two, they're literally like scoring wise all the same when you go all the way down to tight end 20. So if I'm not getting Kelce, I'm waiting to round 13, round 14, round 15. Mm-hmm. And I'm just stacking up like Juwan Johnson, Gerald Everett. If you wait really late, you can get Hunter Henry. People are sleeping on him, in my opinion. So you can get Noah Fant. Like a lot of these tight ends, you get three or four of them. And I mean, you're going to get spike weeks from somebody. You're just playing a guessing game. Right. I'd rather take my hits there than, spending early first round. Your first five, six picks, is one of them is Kelce, or you second or third round, you're getting Andrews. I'd rather, spend those on my high warp wide receivers compared mm-hmm. to, getting a tight end early. And then you're not liking your build. Once you go through it, you're just like, oh, this is like disgusting. Right. I missed out on the top wide receivers. I missed out on top running backs, and I'm reaching for people like Christian Watson, who is a good best ball player, but I don't want to draft him in the fifth round as my second wide receiver.
You're not going to get that guy. Yeah, you don't want to reach for him.
Trust me, you're not going to like it when you're looking at him at wide receiver two. Like it's disgusting. So,
yeah. And you bring up tight end position and rookies too. Waiting might be a good practice because there's like four or five guys that might be productive right away in 2023. Yeah. So it's smart. absolutely. What are some of the practices that you like to kind of deploy here to win in best ball?
Yeah, a couple things though. What I've seen early on, just wide receivers kind of dry up pretty quickly.
This is the year that wide receivers are going to zip off the board.
First round, 8 or 9 wide receivers are going off the board. So
every time
you kind of have to start with a top wide receiver to kind of anchor your team, and then look to stack him with a really good quarterback. So for instance, I know Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are going pretty early. So if you get AJ Brown, let's say, pick 6, pick 7, my strategy is to get Jalen Hurts with my next pick, because he's going to go pretty early. But it also depends on where your draft position is. If you're later in the draft, then you may have to pivot towards a Jonathan Taylor or a Saquon Barkley to start your team. And then backdoor him with a good wide receiver or whatever's left from that that wide receiver pool. But I like to stack good pass catchers with good quarterbacks. That's one thing that I usually have in mind, especially early on in drafts. And I just let the rest of the draft come to me.
Right, kind of stay in the pocket, stay fluid. We talked about that in your season long strategies, but you can use that in best ball, right? Staying fluid is a good practice in best ball. You don't want to be too rigid. All of a sudden, you come away like, man, I really had this strategy I put in place, but it looks like I was too strong with it. I was too kind of put in a box here. And it sounds like both of your preferred strategies is kind of attack the wide receivers early.
And then another thing that I've noticed is, once you do attack that early, there's going to be a lot of running back value later in drafts, especially now since we're before the NFL draft, we're past the combine, pro days are kind of going. One way to get some value later in drafts is to target some of the rookie running backs before you get their landing spots. I've been looking at a lot of, Sean Tucker, or Chase Brown or Tyjae Spears, or Kendre Miller, some of those guys to kind of anchor the remainder of my running back builds. So look, those landing spots, they may get pretty damn good draft capital, and you can definitely pair them with some of the other running backs that you draft. And we'll talk about some of those in a second that I'm targeting.
Yeah, so smart to do that. So smart. Yeah. Gene, anything you want to add there?
Yeah. So like you said, if you're drafting probably 1 through 6. You're probably taking a wide receiver first. You're probably going to start your draft wide receiver. And if you wait between round 6 through 9, I mean, they're littered with running backs that are in that range where they're in their second contract, or, running backs where last year they were getting drafted in the 4th or 5th round. You didn't really feel good about drafting them, but now they're going through 6 through 9 because of, the potential of these incoming running backs. And, they're kind of older and people are just fading them. So people like Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Aaron Jones. These are all guys that are littered within round 6 through 9. I rather wait on all and just gobble some of those in. Again, you get trapped with taking a tight end first, and now you're behind the 8 ball in terms of building out the rest of your roster. I'd rather wait on some of these other guys and spend my early capital on some of these wide receivers.
Nope.
Every year is different, but I mean, let's think back to 2022. Algier taken in the 5th round of the NFL draft, kind of left by the wayside. Isaiah Pacheco taken in the 7th round, kind of left by the wayside. If you took both of those guys, they were going to smash for you at the end of the season because they came on strong at the end. So I like that idea of kind of peppering some late rookies, waiting on the running backs. There's a whole bunch that have depressed value at this time of year. I don't know if that's going to be a consistent narrative each year, but right now it certainly is. So your David Montgomery's, DeAndre Swift's, those are the guys that I have been seeing a lot on my teams in best ball so far. Now, did either of you guys ever play Clash of Clans a few years ago or even now?
I did not.
So are you familiar with that game?
I am familiar. I remember used to see those ads all the time.
Yeah. So Clash of Clans is like you build up a village and you build up weaponry and you attack other villages, right? And one of the best ways to attack was getting these dragons. You could get a whole bunch of dragons and they would just run through towns. They would destroy the other village. And I have always looked at the high-end wide receivers as getting my dragons. So if you tune in this show, you maybe heard it before, but if I'm ever talking about my fleet of dragons, it's because I've got a whole bunch of wide receivers that are here to fuck shit up. So I like the strategy. It seems like that's the best way to go about it here, especially 1 QB, attack wide receiver, get those dragons, and pick up some of the spaces, stay in the pocket, and get some value later on, because if you're staying fluid, you will find those, you know, pockets of value throughout a draft. So, like, what are some of your thoughts on the best way to start a draft if the wide receivers are taking it? We talked about attacking wide receiver, but let's say you're kind of you've seen a run. You're at the back end of the draft. We kind of mentioned the Jonathan Taylor. Are you going running back in this situation, or are you willing to reach in the second round to get that wide receiver to pair with a Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, something like that?
No, I mean, look, I think in the first couple of rounds, if some of those wide receivers are gone, I mean, you'll still have some decent value at running back. So like Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley. Some of those guys are still on the board. I would probably start there.
Yeah.
It's important not to panic, right? I think a lot of people, whenever they have, you know, certain things not go their way, they panic, they reach, they have like a very questionable team build when it's all said and done, because they reached and they chose the person that was basically at the top of the ADP, right? They just look at the rankings and say, okay, he has the highest ADP. I'm going to draft this guy. Mm-hmm. And there's really no rhyme or reason why you need to do it, because it may not be your best bet in that moment in time. So I think it's important not to panic. And I would probably just pivot towards, the best available running backs, especially if there's pretty good value there. Jonathan Taylor, I think he's going to be a guy that I target pretty frequently, mm-hmm. especially if the wide receivers are gone. Towards the end of the back half of the first round or early second round.
Right. And Gene, have you started any teams going maybe running back, tight end, running back that you like the team build, or are you like, I need my Dragons at the top of the draft?
No. So, the last three drafts I've been in the 10th, 11th, 12th spot, and I've always preferred doing the running back. Cause it's always Jonathan Taylor's always there. Saquon's always there. Bijan's always there. Austin Eckler's always there. So, I mean, I like that build compared to, going after Garrett Wilson and Amon-Ra. Like, it feels better starting off with those two monster running backs than those wide receivers, in my opinion.
So pivoting is not, it's not a death sentence. You can pivot and still come away with a team build that you like. We've talked about team building strategies that we like. Now let's talk about what we hate. What is the worst way to start a best ball team, in your opinion, Gene?
Tight end in the first or second round. Like I said, I did it twice. I stacked it with Mahomes and Kelce, and I did not like the rest of my team. I felt like I was behind the eight ball. I kept picking players. I was like, I like them, but I felt like I had to get them around too early because when those players weren't going to come back to me. And plus, when you draft like a tight end first, I feel like you lose your leverage in the other positions because you're playing catch up. Yep. Like I said before, that warp after Kelce and maybe Andrews is like a dramatic drop, and they're all clumped the same, like in terms of like percentage of points difference between each other. They're so close together that there's no point for me to go draft TJ Hockenson in the fourth when I can spend that fourth round pick on a wide receiver Chris Godwin or Mike Evans or somebody else like that. So
DJ Moore.
Oh, I knew
it was coming. DJ Moore. No. Exactly. I don't want to lose my leverage in these other positions. If I'm going to spend early on a tight end, I'd like my build better when I draft tight end late than picking early.
Yeah, I mean, imagine all the teams that drafted Andrews in the second round last year. And they were like, oh, look at these chumps. And then the first part of the season, you're like, oh, baby, this is it. Yeah, no. All of a sudden, he falls off a cliff and you're fucked. You don't really have the wide receivers there that you could have had in the second round. Anything you want to add there, Ike, in terms of what are your worst favorite starts to a best ball draft?
Yeah, this is actually, the worst. I agree with Gene. Starting with tight end is not really advantageous. You're playing catch up. But also towards the end of drafts, and basically ending your roster with like four tight ends or four quarterbacks, because you lose out on a lot of value, especially late. You can lose out on a guy like Jerick McKinnon that, basically saved a lot of fantasy seasons last year. He turned up. He had there was a stretch where he had nine touchdowns in a five-game span. He was actually on my that best ball team that I mentioned that I did pretty well in. You lose out on a guy like Tyler Algier. He ended up having one of the more quiet 1,000-yard seasons that I can remember, but he had a strong finish to the 2022 season for the Falcons. So you lose out on guys like that in the later rounds that you can potentially that can propel you to the next round and potential high finishes in these drafts.
Yeah, if you're going to use dart throws at the end, you don't want to use them on tight ends because they have the lowest floor. I mean, you could walk
the lowest floor.
They could absolutely sink your bottom of your roster. As the opposite is true for running backs and receivers. You could get a guy that's like, he's not going to do anything, and then two injuries later by week 9, he's smashing for his team. Where tight end, you could literally piss away your last 3 or 4 picks if you just wait till the end. So you guys are saying, don't take him in the beginning. Don't wait on him till the very end. Pepper him in there in the middle and try to come away with, I don't like that TJ Hockenson disrespect gene that you did, because I love Hockenson this year, but I do understand what you're saying. Fade kind of the early tight ends. Pepper in your Dallas Goedert's, your Pat Freiermuth's, these guys who can pop, give you spike weeks. I like that. I like that approach a whole lot. It's definitely going to change the way I look at best ball. We're gonna tackle one of my best ball drafts that I did with the two of you later on in the show, so stick around for that. And you might rip me up because I did kind of do some of the no-nos that we talked about, but I did practice some of the good stuff that we've talked about. Now we've talked about big picture strategy. We've talked about who, what positions. Now let's talk about some of the players. So, like, what are some of the players you're targeting in the middle part of the drafts?
J.K. Dobbins is by far my number one player that I'm targeting in 2023. Second year removed from the ACL tear. That's usually the year where you bet on these running backs, especially if history is any indicator. Last year, Saquon Barkley, he was like one of my number one player in all my drafts, all my redraft leagues, all my best, a lot of my best ball leagues. Mm-hmm. Think back to Dalvin Cook in 2019. He had his first breakout year coming off of the ACL tear, second year. And then we know about Adrian Peterson, but J.K. Dobbins, even last year towards the end of the year, he was still number two in juke rate. And number three in breakaway run rate. So, and this is him just kind of getting back up to speed and ramping back up. But I think now he has a full offseason to get going. He is like by far my number one player. And then Jameson Williams is close behind.
J-Mo
is close behind. Again, him second year removed from an ACL tear. He was just ramping up for the Lions offense last year, showed some explosive plays towards the end of the season. So he's pretty going at a pretty good value. And then DeAndre Swift. I'm still team DeAndre Swift. I still believe he's my guy. He's one of my guys. And then, especially in best ball and underdog, running backs, half PPR, they're more advantageous, especially a guy like that can break the game open in any given moment in time. He's going in like the 5th or 6th round. I think right now he's like RB20 or RB21. His value is plummeting because of David Montgomery signing there, but I still think he has a lot of value. And then just a couple more. Cam Akers, second season post Achilles tear. He was also on my squad that I had did really well.
He was strong too last year, man.
Had a lot of strong running backs that just clicked at the right time, right? So Cam Akers, and then Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson has a full offseason. We'll have a full offseason under his belt. He was a little rusty last year. We did not see that top five talent at all in 2022. But I think this year now he added Elijah Moore. Mm-hmm. Or the Browns added Elijah Moore, my guy, another one of my guys. And I'm going to be targeting a lot of Brown stacks. He also has Amari Cooper.
Who
continued to show he was a number one receiver despite all the haters saying that he's not. So Deshaun Watson has, Cooper, Peoples Jones, Elijah Moore to throw the ball to, and a full offseason to get going. So I like a lot of those guys.
The Browns, they keep telling us what they want to do. They give Deshaun Watson over $200 million guaranteed. They keep bringing in wide receivers. They want speed. They're not even done after Elijah Moore. They're still in on other receivers. They want to let him cook. I absolutely love that. One thing about DeAndre Swift I want to highlight before we get to your favorite targets here, Gene. He is a best ball. He's the Wolverine of best ball. He was tailor-made, engineered in a lab for best ball. Two of his best weeks last year. In week 17, where he had 27.7 fantasy points, he had a 35.7% snap share. And in week 13, he had 21.1 fantasy points. He was running back 4. that week, he only had a 51.4% snap share. So for everyone who's panicking that David Montgomery is going to be a volume guy, he could absolutely be that. But DeAndre Swift is so electric, you're going to get those spike weeks. And getting him fifth, sixth, seventh round as we see his ADP fall, man, great practice. Love that call. Gene, who are some of your targets here in the middle part of the draft?
I mean, it's funny. Me and Ike didn't even, like, discuss who we were going to go after, like, who we were going to talk about. And this dude named, like, half of them, at least.
You guys should start a podcast together. I think that you guys seem like you would link up well. I think you should guys do a show together. Maybe on Destination W, they're a great network. Maybe you should do that.
They are a great network. Maybe we should. I'll talk to you after the show. I
my people will give it to people.
Yeah, your people call these people. Well, you should make this happen. I think we should make it happen.
So my first one on my list was Deshaun Watson. Again, this will be his first really good full year of, like, knowing he's gonna be playing any and every game that he doesn't get hurt in. Mm-hmm. You add in Elijah Moore, another year in this system. You got just Chubb in the backfield. You still got Njoku. Like, I think he's set up to, you know, really flourish this year. And I've been every draft that I've had opportunity to get him, I've gotten him. So that as my number one. So I've waited, get him as my first running quarterback, and I feel good about it. The next person you're gonna like, Mac Jones, very late in best ball drafts. So the reason, if I start out a draft and I go early on quarterback, so like Mahomes or Allen, you don't need to go and get Cousins. You can wait. Like, these guys don't get hurt. You know they're going to be producing at a high level. They're top of the chain in terms of quarterback warp, quarterback scoring. So you don't need to fill in a second quarterback in round 10. You can wait to round 14, round 15, go dabble in some Mac Jones. You get a year where you get Bill O'Brien, a great offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You get whoever the trash was last year calling plays. You get a real professional now. Let's get him back to how he was his rookie season. You added, Mike Gesicki. I don't know whatever that's worth. He's athletic, just like Jonnu Smith. I think overall the setup is better for Mac Jones to be a little bit better. And he'll be in filling spots, you know, like when you have your bye weeks, I think he'll be able to produce very well. You got your second year with Thornton. He'll be able to take out the top off the defenses if he stays fully healthy. You got Juju that's playing in the slot. I mean, they're interchangeable with Jacoby Myers. So for me, I've been targeting Mac Jones late. If I started off one of my early with one of these very high-end quarterbacks, I've been filling my roster with Mac Jones. And I think he should be pretty good this year, honestly. My next person, another running back that's going kind of late that I think people are sleeping on is Samaje Perine. You can get him in like the 10th, 11th round. You haven't heard a peep about Javonte Williams at all, which is really weird. So if you've listened to our last pod, Ike, where you talked about how he shredded every LCL in his knee.
Anything
that keeps your knee like this is now like, his
knee blew up.
You haven't heard a word about his rehab. So I feel like they're going to be leaning on Samaje pretty early in the season. If you saw, you can go down a list of running backs that after their first year after tearing their ACL, they're not really good. Like, they've not, they don't perform. So
Dobbins this
is
year.
Why, yeah, this yeah. is why, this is why they, cooking. Yeah, this is why they brought in Samaje Perine. Everybody knows that he's a solid running back. Mm-hmm. I think early in the season, he's going to get an opportunity to take a lot of the snap share. So I want a piece of him. So that's somebody I've been targeting. Another running back. It's funny that I like wide receivers, but I keep talking about late round running backs. Damian Harris.
I know
last year he was ass. He didn't really do much. He was hurt. Ramondre took his spot, took his chain and didn't give it back to him. Damian gets to be the early down running back, goal line running back for the Bills. Somebody that they missed last year when they had, Devin Singletary and whatever else they tried to, and they just used Josh Allen to run the ball, even though they didn't want him to run. He still ran the ball last year because they didn't trust anybody else. Now you got a big hammer, somebody that doesn't go down easy, doesn't fumble. So I believe that he'll be able to turn around this season and probably get over double-digit touchdowns like he did in 2021. And, I mean, goes without saying, one of the wide receivers I love so much early in drafts, if I get an early pick, is Stephon Diggs, man. Just as long as they keep
singing it to
as
me
long,
right
as long as long
Diggs, Cooper, oh
yeah, hey. as long as they keep the wide receiver core kind of similar how it is now, he's gonna eat again, man. Like, he's not even that's a dragon I gotta have in my chamber, man. So one more person that I think that I want to talk about is Diontae Johnson, another wide receiver that's going in these like seventh, eighth round. I know last year was kind of a bummer because he had hella targets like every other year, but no touchdowns. Yeah. His yards per catch or yards per attempt was really low because, you know, Kenny Pickett sucks. But, you know, small hands. He'll have another year in the offense. I pray that they do something about this offensive line, but I think regression has to turn in his favor in terms of scoring touchdowns. So that's somebody that I think people are sleeping on because he's a high target guy, just didn't score any touchdowns last year.
And, you know, the touchdown regression is real. Let's think about Miles Sanders. I know it's a different position, but it's a similar situation where he had zero in 2021, has 11 in 2022. Now, will Diontae have 11 receiving touchdowns? No. But if that number pops up to 6 or 7, that's some value there. Absolutely.
I'd set the over-under, to like 6.5, 7.5.
Yeah, I think that's eventually a good mark. And I think given his ability to get catches in PPR formats, like, that's absolutely something you're going to want to target for some value. Here in the chat, we got Fantasy Football Garage. Is the sixth round too early to take DeAndre Swift in best ball?
Nope, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't.
Sixth round, like, that's value right there, in my opinion.
So for my, I don't think it's too early, but it's interesting that he's going the sixth round and David Montgomery is going two rounds later than him. And we're all projecting that David Montgomery is probably going to be the first and second down back. And they're going to probably use Swift similar to they did last year, where he gets some of that work. They'll use him some of the third down areas also. And I just think that their ADP should probably be closer together. We'll probably see it once we get closer to the draft.
Yeah, they'll level out, and I think they'll go around the same range. You know, I think David Montgomery is currently RB 25, 24, 25.
Something like that.
And DeAndre Swift is like RB 20, RB 19. Yeah. So it's going to start, like, they're going to basically be close together by the end of the summer.
And you also have to factor in where we are in the calendar. Yeah. You know, the sixth round of DeAndre Swift, he gets traded. You're looking at a first, second round guy. So, I mean, getting him in the sixth, seventh round, that's absolute value there, no doubt about it. We talked about some targets now. Like, tell me about some players you're absolutely fading in best ball, guys you just don't know part of.
Well, this first one's not going to shock you guys. Well, maybe not. Maybe Gene's probably not going to shock you, but I'm fading Breece Hall.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that in best ball. I don't hate it at all.
Love the talent, love the player, but, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum. First year coming back from the ACL tear. Mm-hmm. He tore his ACL in, October? Like, late October?
Something like that.
So, I don't think he's going to be up to speed. I'm actually going to be targeting Michael Carter in later rounds in best ball because he's going to be getting a lot of work, a lot of carries, hopefully, you know, early on. And again, Michael Carter, another guy was on my team that was successful in best ball.
It's crazy when a guy performs and you get some money from that performance. You're like, I'm taking you every year, my friend.
Yeah, but this time, you know, it makes sense, right? I mean, he's you know, while they're ramping Breece Hall back up, I mean, Michael Carter is probably going to be the starter. But another guy that I'm fading, and, you know, Gene, you're going to like this one, Brian Robinson. I am fading the shit out of him. He is just a guy. We've talked about it on our pod. I don't get why the Washingtons, I'll never call them the Commanders, the Washingtons like this guy so much. His yards per touch, you know, 4.0, that's 53rd in the NFL. Breakaway run rate, number 46 in the NFL. Yards created per touch, 47th in the NFL. Like, the guy is just he's not efficient when he touches the ball. Mm-hmm. Yards created, number 34 in the NFL. True yards per carry, number 56. And, like, I can keep going. and he's going in the RB20, like, right around the same range as David Montgomery. No. stop it. Just stop it.
He's the definition of a volume clogger.
No spike week potential. And in best ball, you're looking for, you know, you're looking for upside, you're looking for spike weeks. And where is Brian Robinson going to give you spike weeks? I think people drafting him, you're just drafting you're begging to lose. I don't think any championship rosters or any, you know, winning rosters are going to have Brian Robinson on there. Can probably guarantee. I feel like that's a safe bet.
Certainly a safe bet. That offense does not fire at the rate it would have to get a guy like that 17 touchdowns. You know, that's what we're looking at for him and have a true outlier here. LeGarrette Blount, Jamal Williams type of season. I don't see that in the range of outcomes for the Washingtons. I'm going to use that from now on. I like that a whole lot. I just picture like the powdered wig at the front of the boat, just like the Washingtons. Now, if you are allowed spike weeks and fantasy points for awesome walkouts after getting shot in the ass, that many men walkout was absolutely awesome. But if you don't get fantasy points for that, I'm fading Brian Wilson. Love that as well.
They don't give no awards for that.
No, I mean, well, should you show your players that on your squad to get them fired up? Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Yeah,
absolutely. That was pretty damn cool.
It was cool.
But
it was cool.
You ain't getting fantasy points for that. So, Gene, who are some guys you're fading? Guys you don't want on your best ball rosters?
This is only at ADP. This isn't just fade period. Like, I don't like them at all. I don't like their price. I don't like Khalil Herbert where he's going compared to the Deontay Foreman, because I think Foreman's going 40 spots after Khalil. And I'm just like, I know a lot of people like Khalil Herbert. They like what he showed.
Very efficient.
He's always hurt. They don't trust him to be the guy. Otherwise they wouldn't have brought in somebody that was another person that's, you know, he's kind of a volume runner, but you can trust him to take, you know, take 15, 20 carries in Deontay Foreman. So
Spider-Man meme, basically.
Yeah, basically.
And they gave him money. You know, sometimes the franchises tell us what they want to do by, you know, following their money.
Yeah, yeah. If they believed in him, then they wouldn't have paid money for him. They could have got somebody cheap in the draft. So I don't want Khalil Herbert at the price that he's going right now. I've already talked about him already, TJ Hockenson.
Tune in next week, guys.
No, here's the thing. We know he's gonna produce. That was Cousins' guy when they brought him in. Right away, he produced. I just don't want to spend, you know, our early fourth round, end of the third for TJ, man. I can't do it. But I get it though. He killed last year. I can't lie. I had him on a couple teams, and those teams took me pretty far in the playoffs, but I can't do it at the price that he's going for. Another person that this one hurts because I like this player a lot. All his peripherals say that he's gonna smash. Another person I can't do it as is Kyle Pitts, man. His numbers, like his target share, even though he didn't play that many snaps, his target share was 30%. Targets per route run was like over 30%. Like just elite numbers. It's just the quarterback, bro. Like I can't.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend a fifth round pick. I'm going to spend a fifth round pick when he got with Ritter or Tyler Heinicke to throw the ball. I mean, and then you got Arthur Smith on top of that. You already can't trust him. So
yeah.
I can't do it, bro.
It's pretty risky to take Kyle Pitts. But you know, just kind of like the other side of that, he was going in the third round last year. He was going at a bit of a discount. He's going in the sixth now. So
yeah, you're right.
You're getting a 3-round discount on a guy that just had 30% target share and 30% targets per out run last year in that offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would make a case for me to target him. But I get your trepidation. I get why you wouldn't want to.
Trepidation, great word, by the way. Like great word, love that word. Good word.
$50. Let's just say,
my lexicon on point, man.
Hey, damn, Lexicon, you're gonna follow trepidation with lexicon? And this is about to be the best show ever.
No, but it's early, so this could change by the time we get, you know, we get closer to the regular season you know, things start leveling out. You get the real ADP of these rookies, where they're going, their landing spots. So just right now, I can't do it. And also, these running backs that are just strictly third down pass catchers, I don't want them on my teams at all. So people like Chase Edmonds, Jerick McKinnon, if he just uses a third down back and pass catching back, I don't want them, because it's half point PPR and you're hoping that they get, you know, opportunities and they're going to become far in between. Nah, bro. Like more times than not, you're not going to get any production. Like, even if they're on your roster, I don't want to take a zero. And most of the time, those guys are not going to really produce anything to even potentially make your lineup. So I'd rather just pass on those type of those builds of players.
I just want to say one thing about Pitts. We're actually going to talk more about the Pitts draft when we break down this best ball roster that I just pulled up. But another thing I want to touch upon is those satellite backs. I think a lot of people get enamored with the PPR formats and they're like, oh, this guy gets catches. It's cheap fantasy points. But yeah, they're not getting seven catches. We're talking about four, three. Yeah. We're still talking about touchdown dependent guys if the volume's not there. Nope. Three catches for 30 yards. That's not jack shit if you don't get the volume. I mean, you're still not getting a whole lot of value in PPR, and then in half point PPR. Yeah, I agree. I think we've gotten to the point where, as a community, as a fantasy community, we've gotten a little bit too excited about these satellite guys. But even when you look at how it plays out, if there's no volume attached to the receiving or rushing, you're still looking at minimal fantasy points, and you're still looking at that needing touchdown. So I think it's a great point to bring up. So that's going to wrap up the first segment, some of the big picture strategies in best ball. I hope each and every one of you listeners can take that, put it in your tool bag, and start drafting some best ball teams and use those strategies to absolutely put yourself an advantage and give yourself a chance to take home some cash like Ike did last year. Now, boys, are you ready to break down my roster here in the second segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Don't
let's
be do gentle. It. It's okay. You know, you can, if you hate certain things, you can absolutely say it. You don't have to be, cautious of my build here. So if you look at what I got going on, I started with Pat Mahomes. Okay. We talked about not going quarterback early. Well, I broke that right off the bat, but I did get David Montgomery and I did get DJ Moore. My man, Kyle Pitts is on this roster. So
our man.
Our guy. That's true. Our guy, DJ Moore. So, Gene, what are your initial thoughts on this team build?
I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes, and then you just waited for a quarterback later in the draft. So I respect that you waited for, you know, one of the guys that I've been in rookie drafts that I've been, you know, targeting with my first or second pick, Anthony Richardson, and then you also got Will Levis. I mean, two probably, you know, high ceiling, very, 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 very low floor, mm-hmm. depending on if and when they play. So I get it. I probably would have drafted one of these guys and got like a veteran, somebody like, not even a veteran, but maybe even somebody like I said, Mac Jones. Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting late, something kind of like the end part of the middle, as opposed.
Yeah.
To
so like no. So like in between, like this, the pick that where you got A. Rich and Will Levis. You could get Mac Jones probably like two rounds earlier than mm-hmm. than Will Levis, and you would have been good. So, but I don't mind it. Like again, Patrick Mahomes, he's not gonna get hurt. Like if he does, he's still gonna play. How many times have we seen him get hurt, and he still plays through a high ankle sprain when you're not even when nobody plays through a high ankle sprain? So, I respect what you did at the quarterback position. Running backs is cool, you know. I see you had to plug in the New England guys. So I
and James Robinson. James Robinson is just one of my favorite players. I love James Robinson. I even has his card right here.
Okay, I can respect.
So I respect you doing that. I don't know what Devin Singletary is gonna do. For me, I've been fading rookies so far in my drafts, but I understand getting a rookie running back late because that's usually when rookie running backs turn up is the end of the season. So I respect it. I don't mind the running back room, man. You know, you got Najee, who's a volume. He's volume. He's going to get all the touches in the backfield. So, and then AJ Dillon usually turns up late in the season also.
Yep.
So, I mean, I respect it. I don't mind the running back room.
Okay.
Tight end room.
I like that. I like to hear this.
Yeah. Tight end room is cool. Like, again, like somebody I'm fading is Kyle Pitts, but again, like this is right where he's getting drafted. And all the peripherals show that he's good, so I don't mind it. And then Pat Freiermuth, somebody that second half of the season did a lot of good work. You know, I know we talked about Deontay Johnson not really scoring any touchdowns, but Pat Freiermuth, he was one of those guys that was scoring a lot of points towards the end of your season. So I like it. And then Jelani Woods, he got hurt last year, didn't he? Towards the end of last year?
Yeah, he had a couple touchdowns. He showed some promise.
Yeah, he did.
What I want to say about Kyle Pitts, I kind of teased it a few minutes ago, because I took Pitts and because the uncertainty around his production in 2023, I felt obligated to pepper in a late tight end and somebody a little bit higher like Freiermuth to kind of give me a little bit of insurance. So I don't know how much I like that now in retrospect, having to use a, you know, almost a pick around 100. I had to actually reach according to ADP on Freiermuth because I'm uncertain about Pitts. So I you know, we talked about it in the last segment, and now you're seeing it in practice how Pitts can truly kind of screw your team build.
Yeah. But it makes sense why you double back with Pat Freiermuth, somebody that's, you know, that's one of the, again, one of the probably top three passing options in a okay offense. So it makes sense for Kyle Pitts, that's, you know, high-ass floor and, you know, a low ceiling as we saw last year. So I get it. Mm-hmm. In the wide receiver room, I see you started off with Amon-Ra, okay. Somebody I like a lot. DJ Moore, you know, the people's champ.
You know.
Kadarius Toney. I want to like him because I know the Kansas City wide receiver room is very barren. I don't know what they're going to do about it, but it makes sense. This is definitely a high upside because we've already seen them talk about reports that they're going to, you know, give him and Moore some more opportunities or whatnot. So it could potentially work out for you here. I'm not sure if I would have took the chance on Kadarius, but it makes sense. You stack him with Mahomes, so it makes sense. Cortland Sutton, good pick. I like Cortland, even though you keep hearing that they want to trade him, but they really don't. They just want to try to finesse somebody for a first-round pick. They're not getting
nobody's
it.
Nobody's going for that asking price.
Yeah, I keep seeing that Judy is way more likely to be moved than Sutton.
Yeah, and he's not even getting a first-round pick from anybody. Mm. So yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
So, like, what are your initial thoughts here on this roster?
Yeah, so starting at quarterback, I don't like the Mahomes pick at 11 because you know, ADP is 19th. That seems like a huge reach. There's value there. As, you know, we talked about earlier in the show, there's probably Saquon Barkley. There's probably Jonathan Taylor there. There's probably a really good receiver there still available. I would have pivoted there and then maybe taken, like, a Justin Fields in round 3 to pair him with DJ Moore. That probably would have been my the pivot that I would have gone.
Okay.
But based on how the roster turned out, I guess it's fine. You were able to stack Mahomes with Tony.
Don't take it lightly. If you don't like it, tell me. It's okay.
It's fine. It's okay. I mean, there's potential.
I would rather you say you hate it than say it's fine.
Nah. I don't hate it, but my personal opinion, I don't hate it. I would have preferred, you know, certain areas to be a little bit better.
Right.
But like the Mahomes pick, I flat out don't like that pick. But based on how the rest of the roster turned out, I mean, again, you stacked him with Tony. The running back room is cool. Najee Harris gets a lot of volume. David Montgomery, we've talked about, he's going to be shooting up draft boards as offseason goes along. But the one wild card in your running back room that you really need to pay attention to, that we all need to pay attention to, is Antonio Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
At pick 131. Because I think he's in for a smash year. I think the Washingtons probably took stock of what happened in the 2022 season and maybe thought of how they can be more explosive. And how can you be more explosive? You give the most explosive guy on your team the ball more, not Brian Robinson, who I just, you know, ran off of his metrics. Pretty pathetic as a running back.
Yeah.
So I think Antonio Gibson in his final year in Washington is going to have a pretty good year. So that's, he's going this late in drafts, and he can definitely end up smashing. Definitely end up smashing. Mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts going at ADP. You know, I'm more so on the side of preferring Kyle Pitts there because, again, you're still getting a 3-round discount versus what he was last year.
Right.
And he disappointed you greatly last year. So now, you know, a lot of fantasy managers are kind of scared off by, you know, the Arthur Smith offense, and they should. We don't trust Arthur Smith. He was giving, you know, Mykal Pruitt and Parker Hesse, you know, routes over Kyle Pitts.
And they brought in Jonnu Smith, his
and
former
they, and they brought in Jonnu Smith. And they took on his terrible contract. His contract is bad.
It's bad.
And they still took them on. So I hope that he's brought in as a blocker, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's running routes over Kyle Pitts too, based on how Arthur Smith's tendencies. But you know, you got our guy DJ Moore.
For the brand. I got DJ Moore for the brand.
For the brand. And Amon-Ra at 14, I'm not really feeling Amon-Ra that high because I like Jameson Williams a couple rounds later because I think that's a better value, and I think Jameson Williams is gonna smash. going to smash. He's got a 99th percentile 40-yard dash and a 4.30. Like, he is going to, like, he's – if there is a definition of a best ball receiver, I mean, it's Jameson Williams. It's Jameson Williams. He's got all the spike week potential, mega producer at Alabama. So I think he's going to smash this year, and I would probably prefer another guy at 14 over Amon-Ra St. Brown. But overall, the roster is fine. It's fine.
I got to say, too, after I didn't really have a way to articulate my thoughts on this team after I drafted it. But after talking to you, I feel like I do have exactly what I need to say. I think it's worse than fine. I don't like this team. I don't like this build. And it started at the top. And it's we talked about earlier in the show. Taking Mahomes here gave me no leverage throughout the entire draft. If you look at these players, where I took them, I had to reach on almost every single one of these picks. I continuously had to reach. Look at Kadarius Toney, almost 20 picks ahead of ADP. I had to take Amon-Ra pretty much at ADP, but that's a whole lot of risk that I'm taking on because there's some new factors like J-Mo being there all season long. Taking Kyle Pitts at 62 made me kind of target Freiermuth around pick 100 when I still could have got a productive player at wide receiver or even running back. And then you look at even all of my running backs. I had to reach almost every single bit to make sure that I was protecting those positions. I was having enough production possibility in those positions because I took quarterback so early. And the fact of the matter is, Anthony Richardson, he won't outscore Mahomes at all. But if he's on a team where they expect him to run a ton and he puts together, I'm not saying Justin Fields 2022 exactly, but something in that ballpark, hell, I could have waited a whole bunch of rounds at quarterback, taken kind of a safe floor, Kirk Cousins, something of that nature, and then peppered in my Will Levis. Matthew Stafford. Exactly. I could have taken something that was boring but safe and then peppered in those two rookies late and still got myself those spike week possibilities. But instead I went with what I wanted to be a high ceiling, high floor quarterback. I wanted to pair him with Kelsey, missed out on that, which led me to reaching on Kadarius Toney by 20 picks. So after doing, you know, I sent you guys a few rosters that I put together, and I'm glad we talked about this one because I think this one has the most flaws in it. I think this is the worst one I drafted, and it's because I took Mahomes so early.
It does have the most flaws, but at the same time, there were ways to save this roster, especially like in the certain rounds, like, you know, the, you know, pick 35, pick 30, you know, round pick 35, 38, I would have probably preferred you get Fields instead of Mahomes. And then if you got if you, at 11, you would have gotten Barkley, you would have gotten Jonathan Taylor, you would have started your team, you know, Jonathan Taylor, and then you would have had David Montgomery and then AJ. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways to 100%. Save it. And then instead of like, you know, I honestly, like, I don't hate the Anthony Richardson and Will Levis on the back end because they're going to play by like week five, right? We see it every year. Rookie quarterbacks play pretty early. And if you saw Will Levis' pro day, I mean, he just absolutely like scorched it, right?
He could chuck it.
Yeah.
He can chuck it.
So he's probably going to be the Colts pick at three because they're going to probably trade up with the Cardinals and they're going to probably take Will
Levis. Lock him in.
They're going to lock him in. Anthony Richardson's probably a top 10 pick. He's going to play early wherever he goes, and he has probably the highest ceiling of any quarterback in the draft based on all of his physical tools. So he's going to be on the field pretty early. So you have a lot of upside with those guys, but to your point, probably would have had a safe floor guy and maybe, you know, left one of those rookies off, like a safe floor guy like, you know, Matthew Stafford, like I mentioned, who I think is – that's another guy that I'm going to be targeting late in best ball draft because, you know, he's got a healthy Cooper Kupp. Potentially Allen Robinson if he stays, and then you got, you know, Van Jefferson, who's a good best ball receiver, and then Tyler Higbee. So the, you know, that offense is still, you know 2 years removed from winning the Super Bowl. I mean, they're still there, right? So I think, you know, there's opportunity with Matthew Stafford, but outside of that, I mean, there's ways to save this roster. Just a couple of picks here and there would have changed the dynamic.
Yeah, I totally regret the quarterback early. And Cody Carpenter, he's in the chat, he said drafting upside with AR and Uncle Levy. Yeah, absolutely. But then I shouldn't have taken Pat Mahomes that early. If I was willing to take the upside at the end of the draft, I shouldn't have gone so quarterback heavy at the top. And like I said, I was targeting the Kelsey Mahomes stack. I think I would have liked my team even less had I done that, because now we're talking about pushing everything else back. I wouldn't have had a chance at Amon-Ra or Harris or anything like that. So, yeah. So moral of the story, one QB, absolutely do not get aggressive at quarterback or tight end. pepper in those wide receivers, those running backs, and get those values in the middle part of the draft at QB and tight end. Gene, any last-minute thoughts on this roster before we wrap up?
I mean, even at the end, like, I didn't even notice, like, the Adam Thielen and the Chenault. I mean, I know Chenault's a Dallas guy, you know. He's a Dallas guy, but I think we passed on him. But, like, I mean, like y'all said before, I didn't even notice that Mahomes was the first pick. I just looked at the players.
He was my first pick off the board at 11.
Yeah. Like you said, it's okay. You know, you could have did some things different. But, again, it's best ball, man. That's why you can make about 30, 40 of these before the season starts, and you'd be good. You know, just this is kind of portfolio approach in terms of, you know, doing these type of tournaments. So you live and you learn.
Thank you. Yep. And guys, can you still be my friends even though I drafted a terrible best ball team?
Of course. Everybody's done it.
I got a couple of terrible best ball teams too. So
yep.
Ike, any last minute thoughts on this roster?
No, I mean, that's basically it. Again, the Antonio Gibson, man, I feel like that's going to be, it's going to end up being a pretty good value pick. Even though it seems like it's a reach based on ADP, him going that late, I would imagine he's going to be moving up the draft up the draft boards throughout the offseason, throughout the summer. Because I don't really see that, you know, that pick 131 range holding as much as it is. So, yeah, I really like the Antonio Gibson pick, but again, my thoughts are the same on the quarterback. You know, probably could have gone somewhere else early. And then just a couple of flips here and there with other players would have saved this roster from being just fine to pretty damn good and potentially competing.
And I also like the fact that you started saying that we all do it. And you make me feel better about myself that we all have these moments of or a lapse of judgment in terms of these best ball drafts. But it's okay. You know, I'll learn from you guys. I'm going to take this episode to heart and absolutely try to come back, and get some other drafts put together. And then I'll come back to you and I'll present some better teams to you guys down the road so we can make sure that, you know, not all was lost on this horrible, horrible team. So that's going to wrap up episode 28. Ike, Gene, please tell all the listeners where they can find you on social, where they can find your content and all that good stuff.
You can find me on Twitter at FantasyGenes. That's G-E-N-E-S. You can follow our official Twitter handle, Off the Line FF. You know, we're funny. You know, we always posting something about Dallas or just anything wild that we see. We're posting something. So I think we're a good follow. Also, if you follow either one of our pages, you'll be able to see our underdog promo link. Since we're under Destination Devi, we're being sponsored by Underdog this coming season. So if you're not signed up with Underdog, you can sign up using our promo code OTLFF. You know, if anybody that signs up gets you get matched up to $100. So if you put in 100, you'll get 100 back in your account. And if you deposit at least 10, you'll get into the Destination Devi Discord. You'll see some of these Underdog builds that everybody's doing, some of the strategies that we're trying to implement. So, you know, just a lot of good value for, you know, signing up under using our promo code.
You're lucky I love you, Gene. Using your promo codes on my show. Hey, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. Hey, it's okay.
I appreciate
make sure you
that.
Support. Make sure you support you guys. You guys do great
all.
Stuff.
No. I'm surprised you didn't cut them off.
Maybe
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @just_Ike09. And, you know, everything Gene said, I echo. So you took the words out of my mouth.
No, make sure you guys check this out. Matter of fact, that's going to be your homework assignment. I like to give homework assignments here on the Game Plan. That is going to be the homework assignment. Check out the Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast because you guys are awesome. I was a fan before I ever worked with you, collabed with you, or met you in person. So make sure you check out the Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast on the Destination Devi Network. And you can find me. I'm at Matty Keywomb on Twitter. Please make sure you smash that like button on this video and follow the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Go ahead and follow our Player Profiler TikTok accounts at Player Profiler and Profiler _NFL. And if you love fantasy football, be sure to join the Player Profiler Discord because we got me, Cody, a whole bunch of members from the underworld talking fantasy football 24/7. Check out the trade gods. Check out the Player Lounge with my man Cody Carpentier. Everybody that's listening, thank you for tuning in. Ike, Gene, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me for an hour and talk a little best ball. So keep game planning, my friends, and I will see you next week. Peace.